I noticed when you were in Matthew 15, you said that the feeding of, I think it's 4,000 there, yeah, that they were Gentiles. I hadn't heard that before. Could you explain why you came to that conclusion?
Well, right in the context, brother. Okay, chapter 15, verse 21. Did you read it? Chapter 15, verse 21.
And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon.
That's right. Yeah, with 29, I would take you to Isaiah 9 and verse 1 and 2. And Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2, you will find, even though that's not directly linked to that specific Matthew 15 setting in Galilee, but the point is that Galilee was not necessarily Jewish. That area from where his ministry began was Gentile. The Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, in that sense, first from and to a Gentile audience. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Now watch verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So that area of Israel, Tiberias, Gennesaret, was Caesarea Philippi. That area was as dark as it could be from Gentile, you know, the Samaritans, the Assyrians, the time of the Assyrians. It just been flooded with paganism and heathenism. Keith, you know more than I do in that area. That's okay. So, and again, if you look at this in Tyre and Sidon, it was the Syrophoenician woman of verse 22 and so on, you see. And as you saw all the way into verse 31 of Matthew 15, notice what the people did. Look at verse 29, like you said, and Jesus departed from there and came near to the Sea of Galilee. Okay, that's Galilee of the nations, of the Gentiles. And the great multitudes came in verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. See, it doesn't say they glorified Jehovah, which they did, but that terminology would mean Jews who knew Jehovah, see, as Gentiles. And then the whole thing continues, okay? And it continues in Matthew 16, verse 13. Caesarea Philippi. What was Caesarea Philippi? It was the center of Hellenistic, pagan, idolatrous worship. Full of idols, and he took them there. And it was there that he said to them, who do men say that I am?
that the Gentile should be fellow heirs with the Jew, same promise by the gospel. I mean, they hated him for that.
No doubt. That's exactly right.
So he not only suffered for saying Jesus is the Christ, he suffered for saying the Christ is for the Gentiles, and that you're equal in him. You know, one in Christ, Jew and Gentile, neither.
Well, and that, along with what you're saying, and that, you know, he is Jehovah's servant, ultimately, not Israel. And so Gentiles are brought to faith in the God of Israel by the one who is Jehovah's servant, and he does it without them having to be in Israel. See? And that whole thing about then the pressure of wanting to bring circumcision into the Gentile converts.
Yeah,
really. And owning, okay, he's brought them in, but he's brought them in by making them Jews.
Yeah,
no,
right.
He didn't. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the whole flow of what's happening there.
Remember when he gave his defense there, the Pharisees listened to him for a while until he says, I was sent to the Gentiles, and they lost him.
That's it. And in Galatians 6, yeah. Why do they compel you to be circumcised?
Yeah.
That they might make it open, an open show in the flesh. Look what we've done for Israel and for our God in making them Jews. And that's why they don't suffer persecution. That's Galatians 6. That's right. Yes, sir.
The Jews were blind to this truth. But how do you think they would have viewed these verses in Isaiah being a light to the Gentiles? What if they didn't believe the gospel was for the Gentiles? How would they have viewed some of the prophetic passages in Isaiah that this coming one would be a light to the Gentiles? Or would they have understood who it was talking about?
My only answer to that, you can answer, I think Larry touched on it earlier, where these people could have quoted scripture left and right. But yet, they didn't know the God of the scripture.
When I was in Israel studying for a semester back in 1993, there was a guy who would come to where I lived regularly, who was an American, but he was a ultra-Orthodox Jew, what we would call a Hasidic Jew here. He was a rabbi, and kind of an interesting guy. He had a degree, high-level degrees in physics from Ohio State, and then he had some crisis in his life. He had basically been a secular Jew, and this crisis moved him to go back and study the roots of his faith, so to speak. So he immersed himself in rabbinic Judaism, eventually went to their schools and became a rabbi and moved with his family to Jerusalem. So he would come over every week and have a rabbinic style discussion of the scriptures with us in the backyard, where he would take us through, and in the rabbinic methodology, which is reminiscent of a lot of the teaching you see in the Gospels, he would ask questions, like the Lord asked questions. And so at that level, it was interesting to see. But when we finally got around, and it was amazing to kind of observe rabbinic thinking and how they come to things with human logic. If this is so, then that is so. If this is so, then that is so. And they take what the scripture says, and an hour and a half later, they come up with these, from our vantage point, preposterous doctrines and ideas. And yet there's a logic to it in their own methodology, which isn't, of course, in keeping with the context of the scripture. But the reason I tell you this is because when we asked him, why are you coming over here talking to us, because he wasn't getting paid or anything like that to do this, he said that in Zechariah 14, it says that all of the Gentiles are going to come up to Jerusalem and they're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So we have to educate Gentiles so they're ready when Messiah comes, so they'll know how to come up to Jerusalem and join in with us on the worship of the true God as led by Messiah. So They had this understanding that Messiah is coming to rule and reign, and that it would entail the Gentiles being brought to God. The problem is when the Lord Jesus came on the scene and said, you know what, as he did in his first message in Luke 4, you're really no better than Gentiles. The examples he gave that, you know, there were many widows in the days of Elijah, but who did he send him to? He sent him up to that area of Tyre and Sidon, to Zarephath. And there were many lepers in Elisha's day, so he sent him to Naaman the Syrian. And that's what made them want to throw the Lord off the cliff.
That's exactly right.
You mean we're not good enough on our own terms? We're not the Hasidim, the upright ones before God, that Messiah is coming and we've prepared things for him. Basically, their idea is we're so righteous and so good that when we just need Messiah to come with his power and plug right in, and we'll just go marching right on. And that was the same mentality in the days of the Lord.
Absolutely.
They didn't want to take their place as sinners. They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to acknowledge they were really far from God. They thought they were near to God, and the Gentiles were far.
Amen.
And yet it's really the Gentiles who benefited because they'd take the low place.
Absolutely. And by the way, again, back to Scripture and the perfection of this book and what keeps my heart, by the grace of God, bad as I am. And that same principle is right at the inception of the nation of Israel's beginning in the book of Exodus with their deliverer on that day. And you'll remember that Moses went out and smote an Egyptian because he was beating up on a Jew. Oh, no problem with that. Kill the Egyptian. But the next day, he went to correct the evil in the Jew because he saw a Jew fighting with a Jew. And he went and said, hey, you're acting like the Egyptian. And what happened? He had to. And where'd he go? Where'd Moses go? To the Gentiles.
Yeah, Brother George, Keith answered part of your question. There'll be some subjectiveness depending on what area of the Jews that you're in. But you made a statement that you know, but I just want to reiterate it for the others. If you go to Acts 28, they do this because they're blind, judicially blind, spiritually blind. And Paul will appeal to Isaiah again in this, not only for the light for the Gentiles, so he appealed to Isaiah, but for the blindness of Israel, the spiritual blindness. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, he says in Romans 11:25. But going here to when he's in Rome here, and some Jews believe, but not all Jews believe. And when not all Jews believe, he says this in Acts 28, and verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And he quotes from Isaiah now in verse 26, right, chapter 6, yeah, but verse 26 here, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see but not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, based on that blindness that now happened in the capital of his world, in Rome, he then makes a decision what's going to happen in verse 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And so they're blind. In some cases, you'll get an answer like Heath heard among the more religious. To some, we're just the Gentiles, just a goy or the goyim, plural, and that's a G word to them. That's a slang term, and so you get all kind of blind people can't see. So there's no one answer to that. But there's a partial answer. But the point is, as you said, they're blind, and when you're blind, you're not going to give the right answer.
By the way, that's the lesson of Matthew 15 with the Pharisees and the Syrophoenician woman. That's the contrast there, see? Over against these Pharisees that rejected.
You could probably say that most Jews today are more like the Sadducees, who they're materialistic and they are agnostic or atheist, and that they just live for today, which would take in most of North American Jews that have no love for Israel, the land of Israel. They just live for their culture in North America.